News, sports, weather from Dr. Bill Williams, traffic info from Kane, and one of the Gulf Coast's most familiar voices. It's Mobile Mornings with Dan Brennan and Dalton Arwig.
8:06 coming up on 8:07 here on FM Talk 106.5. This is Mobile Mornings. Dan Brennan, I'm Dalton Arwig, and joining us right now, Vince Allegri with Allegri Farm Market in Daphne, telling us what's on the farm this week. Hey, Vince, how's it going?
It's going fine. A little cool weather. Makes you feel nice out here.
Yeah, it really does. And going to get quite the cold snap next week, but we'll worry about that when it gets here. What are you currently harvesting out there at Allegri Farm Market in Daphne?
All right, it's that time of year. We're doing the large turnip greens and collards. Believe it or not, we're still picking some really pretty squash, yellow squash and zucchini. We're having to wait to pick it about every third day. It's growing kind of slow, but it's really smooth and pretty. This week we're adding something, and we just started yesterday, fresh snap beans. And we've got a pretty good volume of them, and if somebody missed out on canning some, this would be a good time to do it, because they won't buy them any cheaper, and they're going to get to buy them by the bushel right now.
Yeah, that's a great point. And also, you guys are making life a little easier for your customers, too, with the turnip greens and collards, right?
Yeah, one lady back there in the back is all day long cutting up turnips and collards, putting them in a bag ready to dump in and cook. That sure seems to be a hit for a lot of people.
Yeah, I can imagine so. And remind folks, too, at Allegri Farm Market in Daphne, you guys have all kinds of great goods and stuff for you to, Patty helped me put together a really nice little football watch it Saturday with the chips and the dips and all kinds of, I know you have Kinect out there. So pretty much if folks are looking to cook something up for the week or weekend, you've got them covered.
We got them covered. I just came back from Kinect, picking up another pallet of Kinect just a few days ago.
Yeah, man. Well, we love it down here, and we love getting it at Allegri Farm Market in Daphne. Let folks know where they can find you if they want to come out today.
We're in Daphne at 181 and 64. We're 4 miles south of I-10 off exit 38. We're open 7 days a week, 8 to 6, Monday through Saturday, 9 to 5 on Sunday.
All right, Vince, we appreciate your time this morning.
All right. Thank you, sir.
That's Vince Allegri with Allegri Farm Market in Daphne, and that is what's on the farm this week.
Interesting. We'll get to some of these elections from yesterday. Interesting opinion piece you can find on Fox News this morning talking about New Yorkers in this vote. And according to this opinion writer, he says the frustration is not confined to struggling families or low-income voters. You know, that usually gets people inspired to go out and try to get change, right? He said it's spreading among people who are doing fine. This is in New York City. The educated, ambitious, upwardly mobile, these professionals who were supposed to be living the dream but can't shake the feeling that they're falling behind. There's a growing class of New Yorkers who don't fit our usual political categories. They're not the working poor or the wealthy. They're somewhere in between. They've done everything right. Schools, hours they hustle, and they still feel stuck. So it's almost like an attitude. Rents are climbing. You can't afford to buy a house in New York City. I don't know why they're thinking that Mandami is the answer to all this, but there's a growing class of New Yorkers who on the outside, if you look at their profile, they look fine. They're doing just A-OK. But in that city of New York City right now, it's hard for them to make their way to feel like they are succeeding.
So they're turning to socialism.
This guy, I guess, has offered hope, and he's offered a new perspective, and he's offered in the opinion piece. He talks about honesty, that they feel like they just want somebody to be straight up with them. So where Mamdani's answers, his answers may not seem to ring as far as what most of us would want to hear, evidently he is striking a chord just being honest with people.
Well, I've been right in line with what Sean Sullivan, noted political thinker, has been saying about this for some time. Let them do it. I don't know. I don't care. It's New York City. Run this socialist. See how your free grocery stores do with the rest of the businesses trying to make a profit out there. See how defunding the police goes in a year where you're seeing the lowest numbers of crime you've seen in New York in some time. I mean, this is just a disaster waiting to happen, unless the New York legislature somehow finds a way to save him from himself. But I guess his victory speech last night, and I didn't watch it, I know there's been clips, but people are saying it was more of an angry, pointed speech rather than a celebratory, thanks for putting me in office kind of thing.
I've got a little of it right here.
Hope over tyranny. Hope over big money and small ideas. Hope over despair. We won because New Yorkers allowed themselves to hope that the impossible could be made possible.
He is, he built his campaign, I guess, a lot of it on TikTok and other social media, just kind of slick and this weird.
He did a lot of man on the street stuff.
Man on the street stuff. He is someone who often after whatever statement he makes, then he slaps this grin on his face. It's kind of like, it's kind of a his way of punctuating whatever he says, regardless of if he said something that's of dire consequences, and suddenly he's grinning, it doesn't seem to make any sense. But he definitely is striking a chord, and the old politicians are simply like Cuomo, and the Republican really never had a shot. But you know, they're showing a high level of dissatisfaction with people who have done it before the same way over and over. So,
and I know,
and I'm kind of with you. I mean, I hate to see New York City fail because it is such a crucial city in the United States, but they're going to have to take their medicine. And how much of this can he actually implement? I'm not sure about that. You know, he's the mayor of the city. He's not the dictator. To change things that radically, it would seem that that wouldn't be so easy, like a snap of the finger.
Yeah, you wouldn't think. And they've had some bad leadership previously, you know, Bill de Blasio, but he wasn't even as an avowed socialist as Mamdani is.
But he was bad.
He was pretty bad. And who could forget he dropped that groundhog on Groundhog Day that
well,
one time.
But that was the least of his errors.
So, and Michael, you know, he was pointing out this morning, and I don't know, maybe I need to look up the municipal voting laws in New York for this. He said in the city elections, per their voting laws, you don't even have to be a citizen to vote. All you are supposed to be is a resident of New York City. So I don't know how much that played into it. I think the bigger issue was that they ran Cuomo. They re-ran Cuomo, and people in New York were just kind of over him. You mean the guy who let all of the elderly in the nursing homes die during COVID and then lied about it and wrote a book, you know, praising himself? That's the guy that they turned out to stop this?
And eventually sexually harassed women to run himself out of office. As it's not like, you know what I'm, it's like the ego of these politicians, pretty amazing, when it's almost like, you know, that got out. Like, that was Governor Cuomo. You know, you were in the news for all of this stuff.
Yeah.
For the failure during COVID, for pinching the butts of women all around you. Yeah. I mean, it's like, and they just, they have nine lives. But it looks like his political life's kind of come to an end now.
And you know, the people are trying to figure out what these Democrat election wins last night mean for the midterms. And you know, the Democrats are going to take those wins and run with them, even though when you step back and look at it, it's a lot like what Jeff Poor has been saying these past few weeks. These are blue states. And even Virginia, where Youngkin was the Republican governor, it's been shifting bluer and bluer. Really, Youngkin got in and did so well based off of parents and education.
That's right.
Remember, people were fed up with what was going on in the schools and that parents didn't seem to have a voice. That really propelled him to his, where he is. And they haven't had that same kind of momentum. And the Democrats just in Virginia had a clean sweep, including the attorney general office where Jay Jones won, the guy that got in trouble for sending those texts about, you know, shooting Republicans in the head and he doesn't care if their children die. He won. And it seems like he won going away last night. Yeah. The one race the Republicans seem to have thought they could pull the upset in was in Jersey. And Chattarelli just didn't get it done against Cheryl. And she had all kinds of issues, you know, whether she, what was the
Naval
the
Academy thing?
Naval Academy yeah. graduation.
Yeah, and, yeah. She was implicated in like a cheating scandal.
And caught in several other lies, but she won anyway. So, but the fact that those are blue states, and Trump has now commented as well, he said today, The ongoing government shutdown negatively impacted Republicans, and it seems like the Democrats kind of knew that that was working in their favor in these specific elections. Trump, in a breakfast with those Republican senators this morning that we talked about, he was going to host. He said, last night it was not expected to be a victory. I don't think it was good for Republicans. I don't think it was good. I'm not sure it was good for anybody, but we had an interesting evening and we learned a lot. He said, exactly 1 year ago we had that big, beautiful victory, but I thought we'd have a discussion after the press leaves about what last night represented and what we should do about it, and also about the shutdown and how that relates to last night. Trump continued, I think if you read the pollsters, the shutdown was a big factor, negative for the Republicans, and they say that I wasn't on the ballot was the biggest factor, he says, but I don't know about that, but I was honored that they said that. That's what Trump had to say at the breakfast this morning.
Well, yeah. I mean, Trump is Trump. Trump is Trump. So when the Republicans rallied to victory with Trump in 2024, mm-hmm. they didn't need to take too much credit. It was Trump.
Mm-hmm.
It was not the GOP necessarily, right?
Right.
So now we're talking about redistricting in California, for instance.
Yeah, Prop 50 passed yesterday.
Here's Gavin Newsom talking about that, Dalton, and then you can explain it all away.
But what a night for the Democratic Party, a party that is in its ascendancy. A party that's on its toes, no longer on its heels.
Okay, well, and you knew that it was coming.
Yes, yeah,
so you knew that this kind of stature was going to come after these victories. They would frame it a certain way. Good for them, they won. But this redistricting. Let's talk about that, and will it offset what's going on in Texas?
So Prop 50, that's what passed, and passed easily. When the polls closed, the total was 64% that said yes to the measure, 35% voted against it, and this paves the way for them to flip five congressional seats in the midterms there in California. And remember, this came, even though redistricting and gerrymandering has been going on for a long time, and you can easily point to Democrat states where the gerrymandering was already completely out of control before the Republicans in Texas and some other states started talking about fighting back in the same way.
Massachusetts comes to mind.
So then when Texas, when Abbott, I believe it was, who brought up that they were going to do some redistricting there, that's when Newsom jumped into the fight. And this Prop 50 easily passing yesterday. And we'll see what comes from this, but Democrats certainly nothing to cry about after last night's wins. It's interesting, too, that the Republicans, as we kind of look towards the midterms, they put out a memo yesterday. And, of course, with it being Election Day, and maybe this was just a kind of Hail Mary to convince the voters in those states that they should go with the GOP. This memo said, House Republicans believe they have clear momentum 1 year out from the midterms. The official House GOP campaign arm has assessed that the political landscape is more favorable now than it was around this time in 2017, before the blue wave year. They feel the dynamic continues to improve amid Democratic infighting and messaging struggles. From the memo from the National Republican Congressional Committee, it says, quote, Democrats have their weakest brand in decades, with 67% of Democrats saying they're frustrated with their party, up from about half in Pew polls from 2021 and 2019. Voters define Democrats as higher taxes, weak leadership, a soft on crime stance, open borders, and wokeness. They are the party of the elite interests, out of touch with the working class. But I would say that infighting with the Democrats and that term they used, 67% of Democrats say they're frustrated with their party, that can really, I think, lead to a bounce back in passion for voting. If they're disappointed with the direction of the party, there might be more people going out to vote for the direction they feel that the party should be going, if that makes sense. And it seems like in many places they're heading even further left, when it seems that the far left is hurting them in many elections across the country. Some places are just even diving in further, like you see with New York City.
New York City is there's your example. Like, wow, how far left can you go when you are an avowed socialist? You're not hiding behind anything. You're saying, this is what I am, and you get elected.
And I think if you're Chuck Schumer, and he's already been reading the tea leaves, I think that's a big part of the shutdown, seeing what the AOCs of the world think about him and his leadership. Mamdani, probably another indictment on Schumer's type of politics, right?
Schumer might as well be Cuomo.
But has Mamdani here also kind of eclipsed AOC as target number one for Trump, and thereby becoming, in a way, the face of the Democrat Party. If he's now the guy who Trump will turn all of his ire on, for the most part, when it comes to radical left-wing politics, where does that leave AOC? She's kind of going to take a back seat here, it seems. And I don't know if she's cool with that, but she was certainly there for the Mamdani after party last night.
That's a good point. If he has ascended beyond her in terms of national prowess, and he will have, if he becomes the target of Republicans, he will most certainly, he's going to be the face of the Democratic Party. Maybe that's the strategy as well. And it was interesting because I saw an interview with Fetterman over the weekend, the Democrat from Pennsylvania, who's pretty moderate. He sides with Republicans on a number of things, including this shutdown. He was saying that he really feels like you're going to see Democrats, most of them kind of trying to lean toward the middle. From Newsom on, he expects to see them almost apologize for some of their woke notions from 3 or 4 years ago and kind of put that in the past, transgender men and women's sports and things like that. He thinks they're going to come back to the middle and ask for forgiveness.
Well, I don't know how many apologies will be going around. Maybe they shift their stance subtly without telling people, I was way off before. But I really also don't think this means much for the midterms either, this Democrat success last night, because of the states that it happened in. But I think Bill O'Reilly was right, talking with the other Cuomo brother the other night, saying the midterms will be all about how the economy looks. What's this Supreme Court ruling going to be on tariffs?
Yeah.
Will the tariffs, prop up the economy going forward? And also with all this stuff going on internationally, what landscape are we looking at when we're voting in May and then again in November of next year?
Yeah. How is the Supreme Court going to deal with the tariff thing?
Mm-hmm.
Are they going to be held up and good to go? And the economy, good point. 823 with Dan and Dalton. Dan and Dalton, FM Talk 106.5. Our text line is 251-343-0106. And you all have been kind enough to shoot some stuff straight at us.
Yeah, let's go through some of these texts. Texter here, a buddy of mine lives in New York City. He lives like 8 to 10 people in his home to afford the bills. Yeah, I can't even imagine. I mean, we live in such a relatively affordable place, relatively being the key word there.
Yeah.
But New York City, I can't imagine in that or any of these other massive cities finding and making a home there. And the costs are just so outrageous, and I'm sure that played a pretty big role in the populist kind of turnout for Mamdani last night. Another texter says, sounds like a speech from Hitler. Fire Dog says, hope and change from someone who has little to no experience. Does that sound familiar? It does, and it actually sounds very familiar, whether you're referencing Obama, but even if you mentioned Trump, I mean, he's someone who didn't have political experience necessarily, in the actual government.
And it showed early on.
It did show early on, but he came in with a similar kind of populist message. Hey, it's time for things to change, and I'm someone from outside the system who can change them. Different parties, different perspectives, but same kind of movement, if you think about it.
Yeah, genuine.
Yeah, I'd say. You'd say it was genuine for sure. Texter here, guys, you two also noted the angry tone from Mamdani's speech. He's pulling off his mask much more quickly than I expected. I need to go back and listen to it as much as I don't want to, but see, because I've seen other people say he was really kind of angry in that victory speech. I want to hear the whole thing. DEI Texter says, you guys sure sound concerned about New York City succeeding. And then he said Fetterman never recovered from the stroke. Fetterman sounds great to me now, considering how he sounded right after, but I want New York City to succeed, but also I don't care as much about New York City as I do here locally.
Yeah.
Run this experiment. Let's see what happens with Mamdani. All right, 8:34 on FM Talk 106.5 and Mobile Mornings as we roll along on this Wednesday. We'll talk with Mark Ingram from Baldwin EMC here in just a minute. Big event coming up tomorrow. Right now, though, it's time to head to McConnell Automotive and talk with Louie Arata. Hey, Louie.
Hey, good morning, guys. How are y'all?
Hey, we're doing just fine. Sun's out. Feeling good outside. And nothing to complain about here. Tell some folks, tell everybody, actually, what you have going on at McConnell. And I know the GM-certified pre-owned vehicles that you have, quite the selection. And if anyone's looking for a specific vehicle, they can let you know and you'll go find it.
That's right. I mean, we've got them. We got all kind of cars here, from Mercedes to Range Rovers, Toyotas, Nissans. I mean, like you said, GM certified. That gives you an extra 12 on the factory warranty and bumps that powertrain up to 100,000. Got special interest rates with the interest rates going down now, so we got those. Y'all can check everything out online at McConnellAutomotive.com or come by and see us, mate. Like you said, it's going to be a beautiful day today, beautiful day tomorrow, and everybody's getting out, and I hate saying it's going to be cold next week, but, you know, the hunters are going to love that. But and you're talking about those new AT4 Yukons, man. We got an AT4 Ultimate. Ooh. And you're talking about an Ultimate? That is an Ultimate. Come on, check it out. It's beautiful.
I'm going to have to come by. I'm going to have to check it out, Louie, because you just piqued my interest with that one. Really appreciate it. And McConnellAutomotive.com. I know you like to send folks there if they're not able to actually get out and come to the lot.
That's right, McConnellAutomotive.com. And if you got any questions, give us a call, 251-476-4141.
All right, appreciate it, Louie.
Hey, thank y'all.
Louie Arata, you'll find him at McConnell Automotive. They're on Dolphin Street, just east of I-65. And that website, again, McConnellAutomotive.com.
Mark Ingram is with Baldwin EMC. He joins us right now, so you can make a donation in a number of ways tomorrow. Mark, good morning.
Hey, good morning, guys.
So,
y'all doing well?
We're doing great, and folks know by now, you're a good friend of Mobile Mornings. We've had you on quite a bit over the years, and a lot of times we're talking about, you know, preparation for storm season and what you guys do during and after storms, trying to get folks back online as quick as possible. But more often, and I'm thankful for this, we talk to you about some of the great charity events you run and the Power of Giving blood drive. And you got another one coming up tomorrow, but pairing it like you do in that end of year drive every year with a veteran supply drive for William F. Green Veterans Home. A lot going on tomorrow.
It is. You know, Baldwin EMC is a community-driven organization. Our first responsibility is providing power, but also is to invest in the local communities and give back. Mm-hmm. And this is one way we do that. We're calling our blood drive tomorrow the Saving Lives and Honoring Heroes with an Iron Bow Challenge. Mm. So we're hoping that everybody will come out and support LifeSouth. There is a critical need for blood donations right now with, you know, people traveling and coming up on the holiday season. Hate to say it, but cold and flu season will be hitting us soon. Mm-hmm. So there is definitely a need, and this would be an opportunity for people to give the gift of life and also honor those veterans at the William F. Green Veterans Home with our supply drive.
Yeah, and we talk so often about here at FM Talk 106.5, November, with Veterans Day coming up on Tuesday. We call it Veterans Month, Mark, and talk about and with our local veterans all month long and tell their stories. And Dan is so good about making it out there to William F. Green and talking with some of our, honestly, oldest veterans in some of the oldest wars, and they have fantastic stories to tell, but they, too, are in need, and that's where you help out here.
That's exactly right. Those are remarkable individuals, and it's a great way to honor them because they're in need of a lot of different, you know, supplies, and people can go to our website or Facebook page and see the supply drive list. But we will be collecting all sorts of things, anything from clothing to hygiene items, even bird seed. I saw that on the list this time.
Yeah.
I guess they have some... some bird feeders out there that they like to watch birds. So anything like that that people can do and honor those heroes, and we'll have our own veterans on that day, employees, go over and deliver those supplies to the veterans and share, like you said, some stories with them and show them some love and honor them that day.
I'm doing that today.
Yeah.
I'm going up to...
wonderful.
Yeah, I'm going up to William F. Green today to speak to one veteran in particular. I'd like to be able to, you know, kind of get one story I can focus on I mean, after all, it is their lives, and
yes.
A big part of their life was the time they spent in the military and oftentimes in war. So, hopefully I'll come back with a good recording that we can share with you all on the during this Veterans Month.
And I know that we have so many listeners who want to help out, whether that's giving blood or bringing some of these items to donate. But you mentioned on your website you have the list of items they'd be in need for. And also, just as importantly, you have some of the things that you don't need to bring out to them. I want people to, you know, bring some stuff and not be able to actually donate it. But that really includes some used clothing. So if you do bring clothing,
yes.
Make sure that it is new clothing for them. But there's all kinds of things they can use, like body wash, you know, hydrating lotion, some food, whether it's chips, candy, sodas. And that list is there on the website. Mark, tell us about the Iron Bowl Challenge aspect of this, too. I know that's been one of the themes here.
It is. We're excited about it. It's an opportunity for individuals to come, wear their favorite colors, and donate blood in honor of those that need it, plus honor your team with the Iron Bowl Challenge with Auburn and Alabama. We're going to have it decorated very well, and it'll be a fun day. And at the end of the day, we're going to see who came out on top. And also, we will be giving away a autographed football from Coach DeBoer.
Cool.
And we're also will be giving away an Auburn helmet from former Coach Freeze. How's that?
That's good. It might be worth more now. I don't know.
It could be. You never know down the road, do you?
That helmet's been through it.
even if you don't root for Alabama and Auburn, you know, wear your favorite team colors and come out and give the gift of life. Life South will be there with us coordinating that. They do a fantastic job.
Mm-hmm.
And afterwards, you know, we've got all kind of snacks. We'll have pizza around lunchtime. And then Life South, I have a lot of things to be given away that day.
That's great. I might come out there just to kind of, you know, stoke the tensions a little bit between the Alabama fans and Auburn fans.
Tennessee guy trying to you know, get in the middle and just
rile them up a little bit.
Get them all riled up. Yeah.
Yeah. So
that's right. Come on out and do that. We'd love to have you.
This is great. So tomorrow, November 6th, 8 a.m. to 5 p.m., this is at your location in Summerdale there, the headquarters for Baldwin EMC. Is that the only location?
Way 59, just look for that large American flag out front.
Love it. Thank you, man. And I will report to you when I get back from William F. Green. And,
oh, that'd be great.
Thank you for supplying those heroes with their needs and collecting and running it up there. That's awfully nice of y'all.
Well, we appreciate y'all. Y'all do a fantastic job, and y'all are just as well invested in the community and shows with everything you do.
Yes, sir. Well, thank you.
Thanks, Mark. Appreciate your time.
Bye-bye.
All right, Mark Ingram with Baldwin EMC. That's the Power of Giving Blood Drive, Veteran Supply Drive tomorrow, 8 to 5 at the headquarters there in Summerdale for Baldwin EMC. And I don't know, Auburn fans, you can't, you know, after these last couple weeks, you just can't let the Bama fans come in and give more blood than you tomorrow.
A lot of Auburn love in Baldwin County, too.
A lot of
folks.
Veterinarians.
Vets and
agriculture.
Ag people. You see a lot of Auburn flags and signs over there. So I wouldn't say it's going to be a slam dunk for Alabama. We'll see.
Yeah. And, you know, also, I think they'll only let you give so much blood, so don't become too overwhelmed with passion here that you hurt yourself. Wasn't that an episode of The Office where maybe I'm misremembering, but Michael Scott just kept giving blood or something? I definitely know it was a King of the Hill episode. Peggy Hill got into a competition with, who was their neighbor? Vietnamese neighbor. Anyway, the wife was also giving blood, so Peggy just kept going back and ended up hurting herself. Yeah. Anyway, it's been a while since I've watched any of those shows, but this will be great tomorrow, the Power of Giving Blood Drive and Veterans Supply Drive. One of our three big things, Dan, and it's something we've been waiting to see for some time, but after being inaugurated on Monday, yesterday we had the city council meetings in Mobile, and two new council members in their first meeting, but also Mayor Chirigatis now officially overseeing first city council meeting in his term. But more importantly, he came out with who will make up his executive staff, and that's something that folks have been waiting to see for some time.
Yeah, and if you paid attention to who was on Sandy's staff, then you knew. Mm-hmm. But there's been kind of a reorganization of it all, right? So you had a lot of the same names, a few new names, but a lot of the same names that you would be familiar with, like Candace Cooksey and like Barber, the mm-hmm. former chief of staff.
Of course, Ricardo Woods stays on as the attorney.
Yeah, he was the attorney for all those years since Sandy Stimson won back in 2013, I guess it was. And I think that he is remaining, but his firm was not retained.
Okay.
I think there was that little shift. I don't see it in the story out of Lanyap, but I think I'm right about that. But, yeah, so basically what, you know, and each mayor, he wants it to be to run in the fashion that he finds most comfortable.
Mm-hmm.
And so what he's done is, what Cherry Goddess has done, is he is letting the staff, all these members will be, there's not going to be anything in between him and them.
No chief of staff now.
No chief of staff. So they don't go to the chief of staff when they have something that they want to relate to the mayor. They mm-hmm. just go to the mayor. So it's kind of like his cabinet, and they can just freely, I guess, walk in his office anytime or email him directly or whatever.
So James Barber title has shifted, but
yes.
How much has it shifted? So chief of staff, he's now the chief of operations
right.
officially. And right. they
well,
say
chief of staff, you know, you are literally over the staff.
Mm-hmm.
And in this case, at this point, he will be over more operational duties, you know, for the city of Mobile and not over that group of people.
Yeah, they say he'll oversee public works, finance, and the engineering and infrastructure departments. The mayor's words yesterday about Jimmy Barber, he said, Jimmy Barber has been a great chief of staff. I want there to be more direct communication with the mayor. There are issues I want to pay particular attention to. I want there to be multiple streams of information and collaboration between myself and my cabinet. And you have Corey Adair, who is Senior Advisor, Director of Civic and Cultural Affairs. He's, according to John Sharp at AL.com, led local and statewide political operations, former member of the Mobile Museum of Arts Board of Trustees and Foundation. He'll oversee the city's museums and city-appointed boards. You have, Keisha Brown, Executive Liaison to City Council. She'll be assigned to strengthening the relationship and alignment between the mayor's office and the city council. And you know that's a really important role in the way that this city government is organized. You got to have a lot of cooperation between the mayor and the council. And also yes. Curtis Graves, Executive Director of Public Safety. And he's a well-known name at this point around here. Said he is committed to making Mobile safer and strengthening partnerships that support victims, families, and communities. The previous executive director of public safety was Rob Lasky. Now, Chair Gatta said that Lasky will remain on with the city, but his new title is director of risk management. Chair Gatta said he's had a long, great career where he has served our country and our city. He needs a little more time with family. I think once that, he's happy to dial back the stress. So it sounds like, according to the mayor himself, that Lasky will be taking a little bit more of a backseat role in his administration than he did in the Stimson administration. They say Graves will fill the position only if the city council approves it. So they'll have to get to work immediately on that cooperation between the council and the mayor.
I would love to spend a day shadowing former Chief Barber to see. That seems like a lot. I'm thumbing through the story here, trying to see again what Barber would be over. I think you just said it, but
yeah. So according to the release and all the talk,
finances,
yesterday, public works, finance, and the engineering and infrastructure departments is what he'll be overseeing.
He's the Marco Rubio of the, you know,
kind of sounds like it, doesn't it? Yeah.
I mean, when you look at that, that seems like a pretty wide umbrella to be over.
Mm-hmm.
And I would like to see the challenges that he has to deal with every day, because that's a lot to oversee. But, you know, basically, I think we all knew this. If you were satisfied with the way the city was run, or you gave Sandy Stimson high grades or passing grades, Chirigatis offered the
continuation.
Of all of that. It appears anyway. That's, and just by these names and by these appointments, it would seem that, you know, if you are anxious about the city changing up too much with its direction, that kind of would ease any fear that you have, because I think that it's pretty obvious that we have the arena, we have the airport, we have blight, and they're all going to be attacked or continued in the way that Stimson was dealing with them from the start.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, and even, you know, this morning when they cut the ribbon for that new home that they're building with the HIP program.
Yeah.
And you'll have the new mayor out there and new District 2 Councilwoman Samantha Ingram.
Yeah.
Like I said earlier, if this had been 4 days ago, you'd have Mayor Stimson and
William Carroll.
William Carroll out there, which is a pretty familiar sight for a lot of those different events.
8:51, Dan and Dalton. We will talk with Jeff Poore on the way. What is going on, y'all? It's 8:53 on FM Talk 106.5. Dan, with my partner Dalton Horwig. Live at Sullivan Towers this morning.
I love the new name of the place.
Yeah, we just named it yesterday. I think Spear is going to come out. We're going to cut a ribbon.
All right. Let me find a ribbon and some scissors.
Hey, yeah, that's our business, you know, because that's our real estate. And when it comes to real estate, I would always say, look, I would simply recommend finding somebody that has got experience and somebody that you can trust. And by now, you know that I have great trust in Chasen Wachter. He's with Chasen Homes. They're in Daphne. A really, really good guy you can trust. He knows real estate. He knows the area. He's had 30 years as a licensed broker. He's built many homes in 20 years. So they've got kind of a two-pronged setup there with the construction firm as well. So basically, Chasen builds and sells high quality. And that's it. And again, with that construction division, if you're in a position where maybe you own an aging property, you're looking to put it on the market, maybe you've got an older relative living there, they're going to move on to some senior center or other arrangements, that's a pretty big burden. But Chasen can help you with that because he has the resources and the people and everything to fill those gaps. So just talk to him about it, and I think you'll get relaxed and you won't have to be stressed out. There's no reason for that. So Chasen's the answer. Call your local real estate expert, Chasen, at 251-379-4444. Easy enough. Or visit ChasenHomes.com.
I'm going to talk with Jeff Poore here in just a second. I do want to read some more of these texts. Ultra Runner says 60% of foreign-born New Yorkers supported Zoran as opposed to only 30% of native-born. He says import the third world, failed to assimilate, then become the third world. Butterknife says if Democrats are smart, they'll look at Virginia and New Jersey as how to run and who to put in power. Democrats are going to run from New York. That's Butterknife's prediction. Let's see. Tony Fowl River inviting you, Dan, and everyone else to hang out with us and run trains at the Pecan Festival this weekend.
Oh,
he said our club, Swarm, will be bringing our O-scale layout. It's the big trains. Tony at Fowl River.
Okay. Well, was it the big trains last year when I was out there?
What did Dan get to see the big trains when he came to that event in
cool.
West Mobile? Or yeah, you said it was cool.
It was really cool. Yeah.
8:56. Let's check in with Jeff Poore. Jeff Poore show on the way next. Hey, Jeff.
Hey, thanks for having me on.
Of course. So sure, let us know, who do you have coming up on the show today?
We'll kick it off with Andrew Sorrell at 9 o'clock hour. Joey Clark, as we do every Wednesday at the 10 o'clock hour, and then we'll get the official Democrat response to last night. Parker Griffith is going to make time for us at 11 o'clock hour.
How much did Griffith donate to the Mamdani campaign, do you know?
He's only like one of his top advisors, huh?
You think that he'll be...
The Huntsville Weather Report coming to you live.
Yeah, well, you've got to know how the squash is doing out in the field.
Yeah.
But is he... do you think that he'll be in a bit of a giddy mood this morning?
It's more of a middle finger to Donald Trump, probably.
Yeah.
But that's what it's about, and okay. It is actual Democrat policies.
And yep. You've been pointing out, you know, the level-headed Jeff Poore. These are blue states we were talking about, and, you know, it was a nice thought thinking that Jersey may be able to pull a Republican upset. None of that happened last night, and they really kind of won going away. But was this a referendum on how the midterms will go as well, or is there just too much between now and then that matters more?
No, I think it is. Republicans got clobbered against the spread. It was supposed to be closer. I would have put it 7, 8, 9, 10 points, but it was blowout in both Virginia and New Jersey. New Jersey far, far worse. You know, Democrats just have more to vote for. They're more motivated. And let's not kid ourselves. I mean, yeah, sure, there's a lot of time between now and 2026, but the Republicans are in trouble. And yeah, this is the reality.
Then there's only one Donald Trump. I mean, I think Republicans may have got things a little mixed up with the Trump victory last fall as a Republican victory. You know, I don't know. It's Trump. He's different than everybody else.
It's Trump, but the less motivated now. They're you're getting the consequences of Donald Trump electorally because you're getting Democrats motivated to get out and vote, but you're not getting the positives. You're not getting the, you know, guy who hasn't voted in 20 years showing up at the polls to show up for a midterm. This is problematic.
Yeah, but how much more, you know, we don't even know what the economy will look like in 5 months. What's the Supreme Court ruling on this tariff going to be? So you think still plenty of time for, you know, as goes the Trump administration, is that what will determine and the country how the midterms go?
Maybe, let's not kid ourselves. Democrats in these off-cycle or off-year elections are going to be more willing to vote than Republicans. Mm-hmm. That's how it always is. The economy could be going gangbusters. Everything could be going great. Democrats are still going to be motivated by this president to get out and vote against him.
Okay, Jeff, got to wrap it up on that. Appreciate that. Jeff Porsche Show is on the way.
Yep, we'll be listening to that. And then Midday Mobile with Sean. He'll be live at the Battleship today with Scuttlebutt Network coming on at 1, Veterans Day, pre-Veterans Day edition. Mobile Mornings will be back tomorrow morning at 6.